Thanks. Okay, good to get some feedback. I want lots of feedback today. I'm going to start off with a bit of a story that I think sort of sums up a little bit of what we're trying to do in terms of just getting us more in tune with the Holy Spirit and walking, being led by the Spirit. As most of you know, I'm heavily involved with a local cricket club. And Tuesday last week, I got a message from one of the guys at the cricket club saying, hey, you're going to be at training tonight. I want to have a chat to you about something. And then he sent another message, not cricket related, personal. I've gone, oh, okay. Just curious. He and his partner aren't married and they've just had a little baby who I knew was unwell and was like, oh, maybe they're wanting to get married. I don't know. So he grabbed me just before I left training and said, can we have a chat? And I've gone, sure. And his partner was there with him and he's gone, does your church pray for other people? I've gone, yeah. Why wouldn't we? He goes, oh, I just wasn't sure whether you just prayed for yourself or whether you just pray for, or whether you're open to praying for other people. And I've gone, we pray for other people. It's sort of what we're really trying to do. And he goes, would your church be able to pray for their daughter, whose name happens to be Aurora? Now, when Aurora was born, she was 3 weeks prem, but she was still over 8 pounds. So she's a big girl, which I'm pretty sure if you met her dad, you'd go, yeah, I can see where that comes from. But she just hadn't been feeding. So for the first 3 weeks, she'd been shifted from one hospital to another. She'd been in 4 different hospitals, I think, in 3 weeks. And when he spoke to me on Tuesday, she was up at the Monash in Children's Ward at Clayton. And so Sunday, I said, look, yeah, we have a group that prays before our services on a Sunday morning. We'll get them to pray. So we prayed for Aurora on Sunday morning. Tuesday afternoon when I got to cricket training, I saw 2 people with grins on their ear, on their faces from ear to ear. It was awesome. And they were like, she's coming home Thursday. So from Sunday morning when we prayed for her, I think the terminology they used was she's now guzzling her feeds. So from not feeding at all to guzzling her feeds in 2 days. And that's a miracle. I'm sorry, I don't know how you... The doctors had no idea why she wasn't feeding. But she was there, so there were lots of high fives and everybody else at training sort of looking at us, saying, why is Cav high-fiving Kim? But it was just a really, really good opportunity to be there for them. Now, the couple of interesting points to note there. They approached me. Why did they approach me? Because I'd spent time building relationship with them. I'd had conversations with them. They knew I wasn't a weird Christian. They knew that I didn't condemn the fact that they were married. They weren't married and they'd had kids and it was just a messy situation. The partner who 15 years ago came to this church for a little while knew that I didn't condemn her because she wasn't coming to church. I accepted them, loved them, communicated with them, and just tried to be as Christ-like as I could in my interactions with them. So they felt comfortable approaching me. That's what being led by the Spirit's all about. It's about being relatable, being able to build relationships with those who aren't part of our community of faith yet. No, I could have just jumped on the opportunity and said, great, I think you should come along to church now. They're not ready for that yet. Just need to continually be listening to the Holy Spirit as I interact with them and allow Him to lead and guide that, so that when they're ready, the invitation can be there. It's important that we recognize that. Now, over the last 7 weeks, and this is what I was reflecting about after sort of it all happened. It was like how would I have handled that differently if we hadn't been sort of, eyeball deep in a series on the Holy Spirit and interacting with the Holy Spirit? I think I probably would have handled it differently. But I think over the last 7 weeks, it's just sharpened me up, fine-tuned me, got the whetstone onto the edge of my Christianity, and just sharpened things up a little bit so I'm hearing more clearly and being more confident that I'm hearing clearly. And I hope by the end of today, you can be in that same position as well, of when you hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that you can respond appropriately. Now, we've spent a lot of time looking at some of the gifts of the Spirit. I want to look, as the title suggests. Next slide, thanks, Dan. No, we want pickers. It's really easy to focus on the gifts of the Spirit because they are spectacular. No, miracles like babies being healed. That gets people's attention. So does carrying a baby out of the church upside down. But it's the fruit of the Spirit that people are going to notice. It was the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life that allowed Dave and Kim to feel comfortable approaching me. Not the, Cav will be able to prophesy over them. It was the fruit. Okay, so let's just do a little bit of a recap. The first five messages: Spirit of breakthrough, Spirit of God, know the Holy Spirit, God's gift of the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit power, all brought to us by the wonderful Caleb. The Spirit of Truth by Leanne. And then we had the three amigos last week talking about trust in the Holy Spirit: Jack, Olivia, and Denzel. Denzel. Oh, yeah. Apparently both are acceptable if you were listening last week. You can't mispronounce his first name. That's the message I took away from last Sunday. That and the fact that Jack doesn't read instructions, because he started sharing from the text that I'm going to be using today. And it's like, okay, cool, it means I don't have to do the basic stuff on it. So that's good. So it's important to recognize that what I'm talking about is part of this series and continues to build on what that is. I want to start off, though, having a little bit of a look at a comparison of gifts versus fruit. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, there are a variety of gifts. Let me run through. In 1 Corinthians 13, you've got tongues, interpretations, healing, prophecy, words of wisdom, and words of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Sorry, I'll slow down a little bit because my mouth works faster than people's hands. You've got Ephesians 5, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. And we'll leave that there. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, you've sort of got like a merging of both of those with a couple of extra bits thrown in there. So gifts of apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administration. You realize that's a gift of the Spirit? Administration. It's not just the boring stuff that has to happen. It's actually a gift. It's interesting. The Greek word behind administration there was initially used to describe the pilots who would navigate ships into port. So that's what true administration is, being able to navigate people in to where they need to be. And then tongues. So you've got all lots and lots of different gifts. Now, does everybody have all the gifts? Nope. Would you want to have all the gifts? I think it would be exhausting. But the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as he sees fit. When do the gifts of the Spirit appear? Instantly. For the purpose of ministry. And what are they for? They're to build up, strengthen, and edify the church. That's what the gifts are for. What do they relate to? They relate to a person's spiritual capabilities. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, how many fruit are there? Hands up if you think it's 9. No, because you can all read, and I've got 1 up there. I'll get to that. I'll explain that a little bit later. There is 1 fruit of the Spirit. What does it relate to? It relates to a person's spiritual character. Not their capabilities, not what they can do, who they are. Why? To demonstrate Christ to others. That's what the fruit coming out of our life does. It shows who Christ is. We are epistles read and known by all men. Not my words. It's in the New Testament. No, we're letters read and known by all men. People are going to see your life and read you and go, hey, that's an interesting letter. Or, wow, that's a letter I'd rather stay away from. What happens with fruit? How many of you have planted fruit trees? I have a horrible record with fruit trees in my garden. I plant a fruit tree and it will either produce lots and lots of leaves and no fruit, or it'll die. That's pretty much the 2 choices with fruit trees with me. But what happens with a fruit tree? How many people have planted a fruit tree and then instantly it's produced fruit? You have? Generally, what happens with fruit is it takes time. The tree's got to mature. I think avocado trees, it's something like 7 years before they produce fruit. You know, they're a long term. You start an avocado farm, you've got to have a side gig because it's going to be a long investment. But fruit takes time. It's the same in our life. The fruit of the Spirit will grow in our lives over time as we yield to the Holy Spirit. And who determines who gets them? Well, we do. We nurture their growth as we build relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that ties in with what Caleb was saying earlier about prayer. How do we nurture that relationship with the Holy Spirit? We pray. We spend time reading his word. We meditate on what we've read. We spend time with like-minded people discussing what we've been getting in prayer and what we've been getting from reading the word and what we've been getting from the messages preached on Sunday. We call them life groups. All of those are things that help us mature and grow stronger and for the fruit to be more fruit in our life. And as the Bible, as the New Testament says, as we become fruitful, God does some pruning and he cuts bits off in our life so that we become even more fruitful. And it's not just a trim around the edges. It's not a haircut. Pruning a grapevine can result in about 90% of the vine being cut off. God wants to prune us. He wants us to be fruitful. And the fruit of the Spirit is, we'll get to that later. Thanks, Dan. Leanne spoke about the idea of, you know, we have these 2 voices in our head, and I thought it was really down to two images. It was either this one or the one from Pirates of the Caribbean where Jack Sparrow has the little Jack Sparrows on his shoulders. I went with this one because I like Kronk. For some reason, I relate to Kronk. I don't know why. Just big enough. But with some clear skills. But no, in Emperor's New Groove, he's sitting there and he's wrestling with these two voices going, you need to be doing this, and you need to be doing this. No. And for us, that's reflected in the Holy Spirit trying to lead us. And our unredeemed, fleshly, basic human nature going, you ain't taking me anywhere, mate. You're not going to lead me anywhere that I don't want to go. And so we resist and we have this battle going on. Paul talks about this in our key scripture for today, which was very conveniently highlighted by Jack last week. So let's have a look at the text. I want to unpack this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Now, Paul describes this in one of his other letters by saying, those things that I want to do, I don't do. Those things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Can anybody free me? And then he goes on, but thanks be to God, because Jesus allows us to do that. But our starting point, as I've already touched on, is building a relationship with God. All aspects of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We build that relationship, as I said, through spending time with God. And as a result of that strengthening relationship, we can be confident that what we are hearing from God is from God. No. 500 years ago, a gentleman that Caleb has mentioned in a couple of his sermons earlier this year, a guy called John of the Cross, made a statement in one of his books, where he observed that many people hear their emotions and label them God. But if we're confident that we are hearing from the Holy Spirit, we can avoid that trap. It's really easy to chuck the God tag on things. We want this. It must be God. No? God gives me the desires in my heart. So therefore, if I want a Mercedes-Benz and a yacht, that's clearly God that's placed those desires in my heart. No, it could just be you compensating for something. Right. It's important that we can be confident, because we've built that relationship with God, we can be confident that what we're hearing is God speaking, not our fleshly human desires speaking. And so many Christians get this first part there, verse 16, we get that round the wrong way. We go, if I don't do what my sinful nature desires, I'll be in a better position to be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's not what Paul says. Paul says, be led by the Holy Spirit and you won't crave what your sinful nature desires. So we try and do the consequence rather than the cause. So rather than trying to stop doing things, we need to be focusing on being led by the Holy Spirit. So it's not our flesh leading. It's not our strength of mind and our willpower saying, I'm going to stop doing these things. It's us being led by the Holy Spirit and being obedient to what the Holy Spirit's leading us to do. As I can remember saying many, many years ago, it's not about giving stuff up. It's about stuff dropping off. As we're led by the Spirit, the stuff we want to give up just falls away. We don't have to, oh, I wish I could stop swearing as much as I do. Used to be a real big issue for me. But I stopped focusing on it and just focused on allowing God to come out of my mouth rather than my fleshly nature. And it just dropped away. I can remember I was up, my wife Sue's parents had a farm and we were building a structure there, and I was up with Sue's brother on the roof hammering corrugated iron onto the roof, and I missed the nail and hit my thumb. And I said, ouch. And Sue's brothers looked at me and go, that was very restrained. And I've gone, yeah, was, wasn't it? I think it surprised me more than it surprised him. Because I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have said ouch normally. But just things, and I was like, oh, it's fallen away rather than me trying to make it happen. So, now, the two parts inside us, our human nature that wants to look after number one, and there's whole industries designed to help support that human nature. They're called marketing, advertising. You know, the whole commercial realm is designed to make us feel better. You know, there used to be ads. I can remember ads. I think it was for AMP Insurance. For the most important person in the world, you. If you want an unbiblical message coming across our media screens, that's probably the most unbiblical I've ever heard. Can you imagine how the advertising would have worked? No, for the least important person in the world, you. No, I'm not going to buy that insurance. But those two things are constantly fighting, constantly battering us to go, come on, which one are you going to choose? We don't have to choose, we've just got to be led. So they're constantly at war with one another. Verse 19. Thanks, Dan. That's good. So when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. And just in case what you were doing wasn't captured by that list, Paul goes and says, and other sins like these. No. Desires of your sinful nature. Some translations, and the works of the flesh are, or the works of your sinful nature are. They're actually the works. The Greek word that's used there is ergon. Some of you who know, that's where we get the word ergonomic from. It's work-related. It is something we work on. It's something that we put effort into. So, and I could spend ages just going through each of those and just explaining what they are, but that would be counterproductive. No? Like the gifts of the Spirit, there's lots of them, and not everybody does all of them. But most people do some of them. No, selfish ambition. Looking after number one. See a lot of that in the workplace. So let me tell you again, and Paul goes on to say, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not anybody who does any of these things. Anybody living that sort of life. It's a lifestyle that's being described, not an action. Just because you've slipped up and you've got drunk one night. Don't go, oh no, I'm not going to heaven. No. So what Paul says. He says, don't live a lifestyle like that. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Or, as it says in a lot of translation, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Think about that from an English point of view. Fruit of the Spirit is. Is, not fruit of the Spirit are. Don't want to turn this into a grammar lesson. But is indicates that it's singular. Are would indicate that it's plural. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc., etc. And just so that you know, it's not just me. The Greek used there is singular for fruit. One fruit that includes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One fruit. It's like a mandarin. Clearly defined segments within that fruit, but it's still just a mandarin. I pick a mandarin rather than one because mandarins are easier to pull the different bits apart. Okay? Against those things, there's no law. There's no law to say, stop being peaceful. We're going to outlaw kindness. Ban self-control. There's no law against those things. In fact, pretty sure the world actually is looking for all of these things. Think about stats like the fact that, one in three, I think it's up to now, Australians will have some sort of mental health issue during the course of their life. Pretty sure that's an indication of a lack of peace. You look at the fruit of the Spirit and things like anxiety, depression. The fruit of the Spirit will help with those. Often there, as I understand, there's underlying medical issues that relate to those. But a lot of the time, the fruit of the Spirit are going to help. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Bit of a checklist for us. Have we got them all? See, where the gifts of the Spirit are given is the Holy Spirit determines the fruit of the Spirit grow in our life, and it's all of them that should be growing. We can't pick and choose and say, oh, no. That's self-control stuff. That's overrated. That's just people trying to tie me down, man. Don't impose your set of rules on me. I got accused yesterday of being someone who likes rules. It's like, really, you don't know me that well, do you? I've had psychometric testing done and I come out as a 1 out of 10 for rule following every single time. I know, it surprises people. Now, if we look at the works of the flesh versus the fruits of the Spirit, it's interesting how similar it is to the contrast between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh, there's multiple works, multiple varieties of the works of the flesh. It's a product of our effort for ourselves. The focus is on ourselves. The consequences are destructive and corrosive. Whereas the fruit of the Spirit, there's one fruit, 9 elements of that fruit, but one fruit. It's the product of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The focus is on others. Not us, other people. We don't get the fruit of the Spirit so we feel better about ourselves. We get the fruit of the Spirit so we can be more Christ-like to others. And the consequences of the fruit of the Spirit are edifying and life-giving. So, how does Paul finish up this little section in Galatians 5? And it's interesting, the verse that Jack had for Steve was from Galatians chapter 6, which follows on immediately after what we're looking at here. So Steve, I really want you to take this on board, mate, because this is the foundation for all those things that Jack spoke out about in your life. This is what you're going to build it on, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in your life. There you go. Don't normally do that. That must have been God. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Not our cross. Nail, we're going to recognize. We belong to Jesus, therefore our human nature has been nailed to the cross. It's dead. We just built a little shrine to keep the memory of it alive. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. See, we haven't got a spirit part of our life and a non-spirit part of our life. We should be being spirit-led in every part of our life. When I go to work and I'm sitting there looking at child safe compliance, I need to be spirit-led. Otherwise, I'll go out to the balcony and just jump off. No, sorry. No, you just need to be spirit-led in every part of our lives. And then Paul, it's interesting, Paul gives three examples of what not being spirit-led looks like. Let us not become conceited. Let us not provoke one another. So let's not go around picking fights with one another, arguing about stuff that doesn't matter. And let us not become jealous of one another. Now, we'd look at those three things and go, well, they're not really that bad. But no. Paul's gone, here's three prime examples of what not being led by the Spirit looks like. In John 13, verse 35, Jesus states that our love for one another will be our defining characteristic. He says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. If you can start handing the communion stuff out, that'd be great. By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Not by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you go around praying for each other and prophesying over each other and speaking in tongues all the time. Even, they're not going to, he doesn't even go, no, if you go around healing the sick, they'll know you're my disciples. He says you will know, they will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So think about that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, blah, 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 blah. So what is going to define us as Christ's disciples is evidence of fruit. That's why we need fruit pickers. We need to be picking the fruit. We need to make sure that the fruit is in evidence, that it's growing in our life.